Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today, coming to you on a Friday morning after the Phillies drop 2-3 to the Atlanta Braves. And typically I record the podcast on the Thursday night after the Phillies game is over, and then obviously we'll release it on Friday morning. But obviously a wrench got thrown into that last night with a 2-hour and 45-minute rain delay, I believe. It's one of the longer rain delays you'll ever see. And it's funny because yesterday I was thinking about, typically it would have been a day game at any other place, but in Atlanta, they're in like a corporate complex down there at Truist Park, and I know they like to avoid weekday day games as much as possible, but throughout the day it became apparent that the rain was going to be an issue there, and they were going to do anything to get that game in. So that they did, and they ended up finishing it close to 1 in the morning, which, again, I sitting there and I'm like, you know what, we're going to record this podcast in the morning. So here we are, Phillies lose in extra innings, in 11 innings, on a Marcell Ozuna walk-off home run. Phillies drop their first series of the year. And, you know, I will say, going to St. Louis the next day, and I'm sure they're already there, and the plane probably left very shortly after the game ended. It feels like a scheduled loss tonight for the Phillies as they travel to St. Louis. But the Braves series, kind of the overarching theme or the main takeaway is that 4-for-27 with runners in scoring position against the Braves, 29 guys total left on base. Just felt like a lot of missed opportunities for the offense, and they weren't able to capitalize on a lot of those opportunities last night. So a lot to get to in the pod. Gonna, you know, put a wrap on the Braves series a little bit as we, you know, kind of go through the lineup, go through the starting pitching staff, as well as the bullpen. Have to talk about the Alec Boehm situation because it's getting pretty bad, and I have some takeaways for sure, and some stuff that I think might be in the cards for Alec Boehm as we get towards the middle of the season here. And so we'll get to all that, get to a little Cardinals series preview this weekend as well, as the Phillies look to bounce back and take a series in St. Louis. So might as well just jump right into it, get started. But that rain delay last night, absolutely crazy. Again, Phillies, a ton of missed opportunities, it felt like, especially in that game last night. Nick Castellanos had a rough one. He had 5 strikeouts. I know 4 strikeouts is the golden sombrero, but I guess what is 5? 0-for-5 of 5 strikeouts, the platinum sombrero? Not great for Nick last night. And then it doesn't really personify the season he's had either, because he has been a guy who's really had a good change of approach this year, it feels like, and he's taken a lot of pitches and taking his walks as well, was hitting over 300 going into the game last night. So good stuff from Nick Castellanos as the season has, you know, kind of started here, and it feels like he's making the adjustments that are needed. And it's good to see, because one guy who was dropped in the lineup last night, which felt a little overdue, and I'm glad Rob Thompson finally made the decision, was Alec Boehm. Alec Boehm gets dropped to the 7th spot last night after batting cleanup for a majority of the year, because he is just absolutely going through it right now in a big-time slump. Since opening day, I believe is hitting like under 200 overall and has not done well with runners in scoring position either. And, you know, is just a black hole in this lineup right now. And a big thing with Boehm coming into the season was the offseason rumors in regards to him potentially being moved or him being traded somewhere else. And a lot of that was due to his attitude and was due to him showing his emotions in a way that, you know, can be dragging on a team. And I think we're starting to see that at its peak right now with Alec Boehm, because obviously he's going through it. And, you know, every big league ball player goes through slumps. Like, you saw a very similar thing with Nick Castellanos to begin the year last year, to where he was really struggling and Rob Thompson was still putting him in that lineup every day. And I think the biggest difference between Boehm and Castellanos is Castellanos wanted to work his way through it. Like, he's the guy who he played 162 games last year, wants to play every day to kind of work through those struggles. It feels like Boehm right now, every time, and he's having some tough batted ball luck too. Like, he actually is the highest hard hit percentage of his career right now in terms of, yeah, short sample size in 2025. Like, he's hitting into some bad luck as well. Like, he hit a couple balls really hard last night, except the one on the first pitch double play was absolutely killer, the one he tapped back to the pitcher. But he's hitting some balls hard. Like, he hit a ball that was smoked to center field that, you know, Michael Harris was just right there, and he played it really well. He also smoked a line drive to down the first baseline. But, again, his emotions after, you know, these, you know, plays kind of snowball into each other, it's kind of frustrating from a fan perspective, and it also feels like it's probably frustrating if you're on the same team as Alec Boehm, because you're winning baseball games. Like, the Phillies are still in a great spot right now, as they're, what, 8-4 going into St. Louis right now? Like, they're winning baseball games. And I think that Alec Boehm's body language just could potentially be dragging on the team if it continues. And I just wonder if he continues to struggle like this. And I don't think he will. Like, I think his numbers will improve, because just based on how hard he's hitting the ball and, you know, how well he's seeing it, I think that he'll eventually get out of this. But I just wonder if the attitude continues to be a thing, and if the body language ultimately ends up, I guess, does he get moved at the deadline if this continues? And if it's a thing where, you know, they don't really care if they win or lose the trade, they just want to remove him to sort of send a message to the team and ultimately, I guess, you know, just move on from Alec Boehm himself. So it's kind of frustrating to watch, for sure, because Alec Boehm, obviously a first-round pick, a guy who was taken number 3 overall, was expected to be one of the pillars of this franchise and this lineup. So he's going through it. We'll see if he can maybe break out of that in St. Louis. Wouldn't be surprised if he maybe sat down on Friday night just to clear his head a little bit more. And they already dropped him in the lineup, so there's not much else you can do aside from that. And it's funny, you talk about Alec Boehm and his hard hit balls right now. Bryson Stott is a guy who is, you know, actually, you know, his numbers aren't too bad right now. And it feels like he's getting as many soft hits as you could possibly have. And I know Bryson Stott's always kind of been a soft contact guy, but he's in the first percentile on hard hit, second percentile on average exit velo. And it just feels like his luck is probably going to start running out soon. So not concerned yet about Bryson Stott. And hey, he's still playing a phenomenal second base, and he's getting some clutch hits while they need him. But at the same time, he's kind of the opposite of Alec Boehm right now, where he's hitting into some luck, and Alec Boehm seems to be hitting into some, you know, unlucky sort of scenarios there. But, yeah, so Stott, it'll be interesting to watch there. And the other guy who's struggling along with Boehm, I will say, as I kind of get towards the young guys here, is Brandon Marsh. And it feels like Brandon Marsh this year was his last chance to become an everyday player for this baseball team. And, you know, it just seems like, I mean, he's in the middle of a big 0-4 right now. I think it's 0-16 or 0-17 in his last few games here. And it just feels like the approach is kind of the same as years past, where a lot of swing and miss. He actually is barreling up, I think, a lot of balls, but at the same time, it just feels like all of them are beaten into the ground. And he is, again, struggling, going through it. And the bottom of this order really has to sort of, you know, improve a little bit if this team wants to kind of reach its, you know, peak offensively. So I think that Brandon Marsh is kind of a guy where, by the trade deadline, if he's not producing and if the outfield as a whole isn't producing, I think Kepler just went through a tough stretch, but he had a couple of big hits last night. You're going to have to go maybe try and get a guy. And, you know, I don't know who's going to be available at the deadline necessarily. Maybe some sort of package of a reliever and a, you know, outfield bat you could potentially try to go get at the deadline. But I will say, Brandon Marsh, if he doesn't keep improving, they're going to have to look to maybe move away from the whole Brandon Marsh experiment. But you give it another month or so, give it some more runway, and you'll see kind of where that takes you. But and they even tried, I will say, Edmundo Sosa in the outfield finally. Like the first time we saw him was in center field in the last series against the Dodgers, where he, you know, I think subbed in on the Saturday game and played a little bit of center field and looked okay out there. He got a couple balls, and then he gets the start in left field in Atlanta the other night. And how about that catch he makes? He robs a home run in the first inning, which was just pretty wild to see. Of course, you know, as the baseball adage goes, the ball will always find you. So that was funny to see. But at the same time, then there's a, you know, brutal play out there in center field where Johan Rojas absolutely has to call that ball, and that ball is his. He's the center fielder. He's the captain of the defense. He has to take command and get that ball out there. But, you know, obviously a miscommunication between him and Edmundo. And Edmundo didn't look totally comfortable out there, which isn't the biggest shock in the world, considering that he has been an infielder his whole life, and he has an infield arm, and he's just, you know, he doesn't have any real experience out there. But I think if it's a way to get his bat in the lineup, I'm fine with them doing it during the regular season. And I probably wouldn't start him out there in a playoff game by any means, or in a game that's of real importance. But I think the only way for you to really tell if he's going to be able to be a guy that you can move out there a couple times a week is if you give it a little bit of runway here and you keep experimenting with it. Because, yeah, he didn't look comfortable now, but give him 4 or 5 appearances out there in the next month or so, and maybe he can sort of adjust. And if you can get his bat in the lineup, I think you have to right now, because he has been a guy that has been probably, besides Kyle Schwarber, the hottest hitter on this Phillies team. So, but speaking of Schwarber, I'll get to him right now. Like, holy crap, man. He is off to an awesome start. Has 6 homers now. Hit another absolute tank shot last night. 6 homers, leads the National League. And you got to extend him. Like, you have to extend him. I've seen some debate here at WIP, and I've seen some discourse online about it. I think that after the Vlad extension, it's really imperative that you sign him to an extension before the season is over, because now that Vlad is off the market this offseason, I have to believe that Kyle Schwarber is going to be the second best bat on the market, because obviously Kyle Tucker will be number one. And although I would have loved the Phillies to get Kyle Tucker, I don't think you can let Kyle Schwarber leave. Just between what he brings in the lineup and how good of a baseball player he is and what he brings in the clubhouse in terms of a leadership standpoint, I think Kyle Schwarber is imperative to have on this baseball team. And I understand that maybe Kyle Schwarber right now is a little hungry, considering that he is in a contract year and there's maybe a reason why he's performing so well in April. But I think you got to reward the guy, because he has done so much for your baseball team since he signed 4 years ago. And that has turned into one of the best contracts in Philadelphia Phillies history, with 4 years, $79 million for Kyle Schwarber. Like, he has been everything they could have possibly asked and more. It's crazy to think that he was, you know, non-tendered by the Cubs just a couple years before that, and really had his renaissance in 2021 with the Nationals and then getting traded to the Red Sox. But he is just such a special hitter, man. The bomb off of Chris Sale the other night, the hardest ball a left-hander's ever hit off Chris Sale, just ridiculous. And then last night he does the same thing on a 98-mile-an-hour Spencer Schwellenbach fastball, which was just, again, absolutely crushed. And he is a guy who you just know what you're getting from Kyle Schwarber.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Feels like from year to year. And I think losing that and potentially, you know, having that unknown next year in your lineup and bringing in somebody else who, aside from Kyle Tucker, probably isn't going to have that production. That would be a real shame, because Kyle Schwarber, just a joy to watch. I love him. I'm glad he's on my baseball team. And some are saying future manager of the Phillies. I don't know. But yeah, pretty good stuff there from Kyle Schwarber. So getting to the other big bats in the lineup before I move on to the pitching staff here. Solid series, I thought, for Bryce and Trey. They hit two really big home runs in the game on Wednesday night. Obviously, Bryce hits the home run to take the lead. And again, another shot to right field. It feels like he's seeing the ball a little better right now. He was really struggling against fastballs prior to the series, but he hit a fastball, I believe. What was that off? Yeah, it was off Dylan Lee, right down the middle, and he absolutely smoked it. And so it's good to see him potentially getting his form back, because after opening day, didn't really have a homer. Was struggling a little bit power-wise. I know he was getting on base and he was getting hits, but it felt like he wasn't really driving the baseball to the outfield the way that Bryce Harper typically does. So that was a good sign to see, and hopefully he can heat up a little bit here. And Trey off Raisel Iglesias, big home run there in the ninth inning to give them the lead and ultimately give them the win there on Wednesday night. So those are two guys. It feels like they kind of come in bunches for the both of them. So if they could, you know, heat up here as we get towards the end of middle of April, end of April, and we get towards the summer, that would be great to see, because it does feel like the offense sort of goes how they go. You know what you're getting from Schwarber the majority of the time. Castellanos has been a pretty good surprise, and it looks like he's going to be hitting cleanup for the foreseeable future. And if you can get those two guys, Trey and Bryce, going and have them hitting at their peak form, then this offense is really going to, you know, start to explode here in the month of April. So that's kind of where I'm at with the lineup. And the last thing I want to bring up before the pitching staff actually is, I don't really understand what Cody Clemens is still doing on the roster, because, like, I like Cody Clemens. I'm glad he's on the team. But it doesn't feel like he has a role because of the left-handed hitters they have on the bench for the Phillies. Like, I think Cody Clemens only has, what, two, or he's one at-bat this entire season so far. And the fact is, like, you need that right-handed bat to be able to sort of balance out your bench in terms of pinch hitters and who you can bring into a game at a given time, and defensively as well. So you have outfield replacements. You don't have to ever pinch hit Johan Rojas or anything like that. But once Weston Wilson's back, would assume that Cody Clemens gets sent down, because it just doesn't feel like he has a role really on this team. Like, considering he has two plate appearances and one at-bat on the season, like, I just don't understand. I'd rather him, you know, I'm sure he himself would enjoy, as much as he enjoys being up here, like, you got to get reps and you got to get at-bats. And if it's down in AAA, I know he has no options left, but I would think he wants an opportunity to play a little bit. And if he gets picked up by a team, then I think you just got to let him go. So I'll be interested to see once Weston Wilson is back and he has started rehabbing, I know. I'll be interested to see what ends up happening with Cody Clemens there. So want to get to the pitching staff a little bit here. Jesus Luzardo last night, great stuff again. Looked really good. Six innings of work. You know, one run just on the first inning run where Matt Olson hits into the ground out. And he got out of a couple different jams. And was able to sort of manage his pitch count towards the fifth and the sixth inning because it got high early on there. And he's been much more efficient than I thought. After that first start, I was like, I don't know if he's going to be more of a five-inning pitcher, if he's going to be able to go deep in games. But pitched phenomenal against the Giants on the, or against the Dodgers on that Friday night. Went seven innings there. And last night looked really good again. Six innings, six hits, and six strikeouts there. Again, just the one run. So really good stuff from Jesus Luzardo. That slider that he has looks very crisp right now. It's a really, it's like a high velocity slider. He's throwing it at like 89. And when the fastball's sitting in 96, 97, that's just like nasty stuff. So he looks really good. I'm glad they got him. And it looks like he's going to be a guy, if he can stay healthy, that is going to be one of the better arms in this rotation for sure. And speaking of better arms in this rotation, do we owe an apology to Taiwan Walker? I mean, Taiwan Walker, his ERA is sitting at zero right now. And first game he pitches against Colorado, goes six innings, looks pretty good. But again, not the best offense that you'll face all year, that's for sure. But then, you know, against the Braves, got into some trouble, definitely got into some jams, high pitch count, but he was able to work out of it. And he goes, what, I think it was four innings and gives up no runs. Like, he'll take that every time from Taiwan Walker. So they end up winning his start again. So 2-0 in Taiwan Walker starts this year. Some are calling him Cy Young Walker. So, again, I'm assuming that he'll make probably two or three more starts because you have Ranger Suarez, who made his first rehab appearance last night in Clearwater. He pitched three scoreless innings, I believe, and is on track to come back probably within the next couple of weeks or so, maybe 3 weeks. So I would expect maybe two or three more Taiwan starts, and then Ranger Suarez will be back. And it'll be interesting to see how they end up, you know, utilizing Ranger Suarez once he's back. Is he a guy who maybe is better utilized as a bullpen arm? And because I think he would probably be more effective than Taiwan Walker would be in the bullpen. But again, Ranger is in a contract year, definitely wants to start, is a starter. So it'll be interesting to see how that sort of develops and if that's a storyline that ends up, you know, being a thing once Ranger Suarez comes back. And again, Taiwan Walker go out there in his next start and give up seven runs, and we're like, he's back. But at the same time, I think you got to give him a little credit because he has had two pretty solid starts to begin the year. Again, ERA zero. You'll take that. You'll take that every time. So, yeah, like I said, Ranger, three scoreless innings in Clearwater, on his track to be back. Painter also throwing in Clearwater tonight, by the way. I believe it's his first start of the year besides, you know, including spring training, including everything. So we'll definitely be monitoring that one. Always excited for some good Andrew Painter news. So fingers crossed that he looks good tonight. And then, so Aaron Nola, I know, goes tonight against the Cardinals. And it, again, feels like a scheduled loss. And we'll see how they adjust to, you know, probably getting off of a plane at 4 a.m. this morning and then playing a game tonight. But Nola, not great through his first couple starts. It always feels like you know what you're getting from Aaron Nola in terms of, you know, he's going to give up the homers, but at the same time, he's going to throw innings. He's going to be consistent. He's going to strike guys out. But not too concerned, but the velocity, again, isn't there. It never really is a, you know, calling card of Aaron Nola. He pretty much sits at 91, 92. But when he's not locating that fastball and he's keeping it up, that's when trouble starts to happen. Guys really don't miss mistakes from Aaron Nola. So he's pitched not too terribly, but when he makes those one or two mistakes, it really shows. And it feels like that's sort of been a theme for him so far this year with the homer, sort of similar to last year. So Wheeler, again, not coming off of his best start, but expect him to bounce back. He'll go again this weekend. So that's kind of what's going on with the starting staff here. And bullpen-wise, Romano, brutal, but bounced back a little bit last night, had a scoreless inning. ERA was over 15 going into last night, and it just feels like with him, it's either the velocity isn't there or the location isn't there. Like, there's never a combination of both. And last night was a good sign because a couple games ago, he was sitting at like 93, which is way low for him. And after the game, they asked him about it. He was like, yeah, I'm just like rearing back, and it's not there. And that's never a good sign. That's kind of an indication that a guy might be cooked. But last night, he was throwing 96, which was good to see. Much more similar to the guy that they brought in and that they were hoping they were getting out of Jordan Romano. And I would expect he isn't probably going to be one of their, you know, high-leverage 8th, 9th inning guys. But at the same time, like, they are blowing through some bullpen arms right now. Like, you don't want to overwork these guys too early. Although, I thought Kirkring should have went in that game last night for sure. I did not understand why Joe Ross came into that game in the 11th inning. Kirkering hadn't worked, I believe, since, Tuesday? So I understand you don't want to overwork guys, but at the same time, it's the 11th inning of a game where you're trying to win, and I thought Kirkering was the guy there instead of Joe Ross, but it's not how it ended up working out. Speaking of not burning guys too early, like, Jose Alvarado feels like he's getting a huge workload, and it feels like he's pitching every night. He obviously didn't go last night because he pitched, I believe, like 30 pitches the night before. So he looks good, though. The velocity is obviously there. That curveball is way more of a factor than I sort of thought it was going to be because, I mean, he looks great with that curveball, and I was expecting it sort of to be more of a show-me pitch, but he's throwing it a lot, and when you mix that in with the sinker and with the cutter, like, it is a really good pitch to have. So he looks really good to start. That's good to see from Jose Alvarado. If we can get the 2022 first half of 2023 Jose Alvarado and sort of manage him because you don't want to overthrow him, tax him too much, that'd be great. But at the same time, because they feel like they're an arm short or maybe two arms short if Romano continues to struggle in the bullpen, it feels like they have to go to him more often than not. So that'll be an interesting development to sort of keep track of as well. I also liked what I saw from Carlos Hernandez last night. He was a guy who closed out games for the Royals last year and has sort of always had command issues, which has been his biggest bugaboo over there in Kansas City. But he's got great velocity, and I feel like when he can locate his fastball, like, he's a really difficult guy to hit. And he looked good against the Braves last night. I think that he is a guy that if Caleb Cotham has a little more time to sort of work with him, maybe tinker with his pitches a little bit and work on that second pitch, I think he's a guy that could be a really good dude in this bullpen. So hopefully that's something that can continue to develop throughout the year. And I like what I've seen from Carlos Hernandez so far. He got put in a big spot in the 10th inning. It was earlier in the game. It was right after the rain delay. He comes in and he throws a scoreless inning. So that was good to see from Carlos Hernandez there. And it's kind of where I'm at with the bullpen right now. And before we get out of here, give you some pitching matchups for the Cardinals series this weekend. Again, going to be a tough one tonight. You finished that game last night at like 1 a.m. You probably don't get into St. Louis until like 3, 4 a.m. So, not going to be the easiest one tonight. But again, it'll be Aaron Nola versus Andre Pallante at 8:15 from Busch Stadium. Saturday, it'll be Christopher Sanchez against Miles Michaelis, Bryce Harper, if you remember, took deep in that National League Division Series. And I always like to say that he's the one that got Bryce Harper hot in the postseason in 2022. He hit that homer off him in game two of the wild card. So, Sanchez versus Miles Michaelis Saturday at 2:15. And then Sunday at 2:15 to wrap up the series, Zach Wheeler looks to bounce back against Matthew Liberatore and as the Phillies try to win a series. So that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening in. And we will be back next week with another pod, as always. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.